This is VOA News. We are remote. I'm Marissa Milton. U.S. President Joe Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin spoke by telephone today discussing Russian interference in the U.S. presidential election, bounties allegedly placed on the heads of American troops in Afghanistan, the New START treaty, Ukraine, and a widespread hack of U.S. computer systems that has been blamed on Russia. Mr. Biden told Putin that the U.S. supports Ukraine against Russia's aggression in that country. U.S. intelligence agencies have accused Russia of interfering in the 2016 presidential election. Biden told reporters Monday that the U.S. and Russia must work together on a New START treaty, which deals with a bilateral nuclear arms reduction. Russia has reported today that that treaty is in the works. And Mr. Putin denied on the phone call that his country placed bounties on the heads of U.S. troops in Afghanistan. U.S. Senate Republicans appear to be edging away from convicting former President Donald Trump of inciting insurrection in the January 6th storming of the U.S. Capitol by hundreds of Trump supporters who looked to confront lawmakers as they debated certifying Joe Biden as the winner of the November election. All 100 senators, that's 50 Democrats and 50 Republicans, are being sworn in Tuesday as jurors in Mr. Trump's impeachment trial, although the heart of the case has been put off until February 9th. The Republican lawmakers hold Mr. Trump's fate in their hands, even with the former president's four-year term in the White House ended January 20th with Biden's inauguration. A two-thirds vote is needed for conviction, meaning 17 Republicans would have to turn against Trump for a conviction, assuming all 50 Democrats vote as a bloc. If Mr. Trump is convicted, a separate vote could bar him from ever holding public office again. You can follow that story at our website, voanews.com. From Washington, this is VOA News. The Washington Post and Johns Hopkins University are reporting that the global number of cases of COVID-19 has now passed 100 million. Police and protesters in the Netherlands clashed for a third consecutive night Monday after the government imposed a curfew to slow the spread of COVID-19. At least 150 people were arrested across the country Monday as protests turned to rioting. In some areas, demonstrators set fires, throwing rocks and looting stores. In the city of Rotterdam, police responded with tear gas. Rotterdam officials say 10 police officers were injured. Similar scenes played out in Amsterdam, where water cannons were used on rioters. Unrest was also reported in smaller municipalities, including Haarlem, Geleen, and Den Bosch. The protests began Saturday after the government imposed the first curfew since World War II. It was a measure designed to stem a new wave of coronavirus infections tied to the variant strain identified recently in Britain, which is believed to be more easily transmissible than the previous strains. And once again, just this afternoon, the Washington Post and the Johns Hopkins University Coronavirus Resource Center have confirmed that the number of global cases of COVID-19 has now topped 100 million. The acting U.S. ambassador to the United Nations has reaffirmed the Biden administration's commitment to a two-state solution for Israel and the Palestinians and said it hopes to slowly build shattered confidence between the two sides. Ambassador Richard Mills told a high-level virtual meeting of the Security Council on Tuesday, quote, "Under the new administration, the policy of the United States will be to support a mutually agreed two-state solution, one in which Israel lives in peace and security alongside a viable Palestinian state." Mills acknowledged that the plan is, quote, "under serious stress," but he said remains the best solution. He added that peace cannot be imposed on either the Israelis or the Palestinians. Ghana's president, lawmakers, and a host of dignitaries on Tuesday pay final respects to former President Jerry John Rawlings. He was Ghana's longest-serving leader. Large crowds of mourners have already paid their respects to Rawlings, whose body lay in state at the Accra International Conference Center. Rawlings died in November last year at age 73. The cause of death has not been revealed. His burial was delayed because Ghana's political leaders disagreed on some logistics of the funeral. Rawlings had a checkered past in Ghana, having led a military junta before coming to power in a coup in 1992. He was then twice democratically elected to 2 4-year terms. Via remote, I'm Milton. From Washington, you're listening to VOA News.